for tuning in to Sermoncast, the preaching ministry of Christ Church of Amherst. You can learn more about Christ Church by visiting our website at ccnh.org.
The season of many gifts, and certainly one of the gifts we have is the music at this church. We're blessed, and I was extraordinarily blessed by the video montage that we started the service with. That was terrific. Many of you have looked forward to the day when I would stand up in front of the congregation and finally introduce the long-awaited Rachel. So on this night that I've brought a woman to church with me, I wish to introduce her, but she is not Rachel. So lest we have any confusion, I would like you to just stand, and we want to just greet you. Thank you. Koleika's husband, Zolile, went to church with Rachel tonight, so one day Rachel will come. But Koleika is visiting from South Africa, and what I'm about to say is mostly true. I didn't refresh my biography before I came, but I think she's the chair of infectious diseases at the Nelson Mandela School of Medicine and the University of Durban, South Africa. She's a specialist in infectious disease research, particularly HIV/AIDS. I know that many of you here grow mold and other things with yogurt that are might be breakthroughs in medicine, so I want to connect you all up tonight. And she's also a sister in Christ, elder at her church in Durban. And just we're delighted to have Koleika with us tonight. And all the other visitors that are with us tonight, I won't embarrass you, ask you to stand, etc. But we're glad you're with us. excuse me. We've been doing a series in Advent from looking at Isaiah. And on this last night of Advent, I want to finish the series with coming from Isaiah 9. Isaiah is somebody, for the most part, he thunders against things. He is the person that you don't want to come to your Christmas party. He's just not a fun guy. He's saying all sorts of stuff. And immediately prior to our passage, we have a glimpse of Isaiah's self. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and look upward and curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress, darkness, and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. How's that for a Christmas passage? And that's why Isaiah 9 stands out. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation. You've increased their joy. They rejoice before you as men rejoiced at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's a passage of contrasts, darkness and light, the war, the battle, the clothes that are burned up because there will be no more need for the warriors. It's a passage that talks about valley of the shadow of death. There's a road in Israel that everybody's familiar with. And as you're walking down this road, you've got mountain on either side. It was a road that was known for being dangerous. You walk down that road and you're vulnerable to all sorts of attack. And there were all sorts of robberies and murders along that road. It's called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And when people walked down through that valley, the shadow was long, the shadow was cold, and fear was all over them. And we know what it's like to live in a world of darkness. It's dark this time of year. It's rainy and cold and dark. And when we look at our world, we see that there's all sorts of conflict. There's war, injustice. And we may labor and we may labor hard against it, but we're never completely successful. We're never completely successful at warding off the darkness in our lives. We're never completely successful with these things. And what this passage promises is that the light is coming. That the light is coming, and this light is coming for all of us. That there'll be a day when the war ceases. There'll be a day when these battles, these things that make us cry out on our soul, these things that break our hearts. And when we get together this time of year, there's joy in the gathering, and there's also grief in the gathering. There's all of these things. It's this time of year where we think about our lives, we think about families, we think about what we wish might have been, we look at what is, and it's just never quite what we wanted it to be. And this passage tells us there's hope. This passage tells us we have a future. This passage tells us that no matter how things look, God loves us. And he loved us so much that he sent a son. Jesus is not what the Jews were expecting. And he's not what they wanted. And in a certain sense, he may not be what we're expecting. He may not be what we wanted. I think what the Jews wanted was they wanted a mighty warrior to come down from heaven to defeat the enemy and win the battle and put Rome out of business and make them establish this kingdom. I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties. And what is it we want from God? Do we want God to come in as a mighty warrior to kick whatever we think needs to be kicked, to do whatever we think needs to be done to put us out of our misery? He will. That day will come. The earth was created. The universe was put into motion. And there will be an end. And we're told that on that end, that final day, Jesus is going to come down from heaven as that warrior. And it'll be the day of judgment. And it'll be a day where there's no more days. It's a day where things are put to their end, to their rightful end. And we can all thank God that he didn't do that in the first century. Because if he did that in the first century, salvation would have been beyond a lot of people, including us. We wouldn't be here. Nope. God did things in a way that people didn't really want. And we have to reflect on a night like this whether he's did things in a way that we want, even though it's good for us. What he did was he came as Emmanuel, God with us. For unto us a son is given, a child is born. Jesus came to live among us. God came to live with us. and what God wishes to do in every single one of us is he wants to live in our hearts. Trite phrase, really challenging to conceptualize, even more challenging to allow. But what God is doing is coming in a way that we can handle, coming in a way where he can change the world, coming in a way where he can change us, and we can live to tell about it, and we can live to tell others. He comes as a baby. He comes to live with us. And he wishes to make us, he wants to make his home in our heart. Many of us in this room, perhaps most of us in this room, maybe close to all of us in the room, are Christian. So this kind of this phrase of Jesus living in our hearts is, we've heard it all our lives. But think about it. As you consider yourself right now, do you feel like you have allowed Jesus to live in your heart? This God Almighty that came so that we might have life and have it abundantly, do you feel like you've actually made room for him in your heart? And our homework for tonight, I'm a teacher, has to be homework. Don't let the day end without getting on your knees and asking God, please come into my heart more fully. Or if you've never asked, get on your knees and say, God, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to use me. I want you to change me. And then use me to change this world. The miracle of Christmas is God came in the only way we could handle as a baby. He came to live with us. And wants to live in us and through us. He's not going to come down and do our work for us. This is the way it is. And are we willing to be submissive to how Jesus came as opposed to what we may want him to do or the way we wanted him to come? Your homework for tonight, before this day is out, is to get on your knees and ask God to make room in your heart, to invite God into your heart, to ask him to make it larger, and then to live into that. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you that in this dark world, this world of conflict, this world of war, that you loved us so much that you came. We thank you that you came in the only way we could handle. God, forgive us for blaming you for our problems. Forgive us for blaming you because you don't do to others what we want you to do to them. You don't do to the injustice what we want you to do to it. Lord, help us to humble ourselves and see that you simply want to live in us and do your work in and through us. And on this Christmas night, God, we just ask that you would help us to honor you by making room for you in our heart and in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close tonight, we want to symbolize this by lighting the Christ candle and then allowing that light to come to each and every one of us. So without burning down this place, I'm hoping to light the Christ candle. Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in to Sermoncast. We hope you enjoyed this week's message. For more podcasts, you can visit ccnh.org and subscribe to our channel through the SermonCast link. We'd also invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ Church of Amherst. Until next time, God bless.